February 2009 marks the 30th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Why do we refer to it as the Islamic Revolution and not the Iranian Revolution? And how is this revolution different from other revolutions or changes that may have occurred in the world in the past? In the 50s and 60s in the last century, there were a number of coups and other kinds of changes that occurred in the Muslim world and other parts of the world that were often referred to as revolutions. For instance, the 1952 Free Officers' Coup in Egypt is referred to as a revolution. Muammar Gaddafi's 1969 coup is referred to as a revolution. And yet, were they really revolutions or simply noisy palace reshuffles? It was simply a change of guard when one group of people were ousted from the palace and another group simply moved in. So what is different about the Islamic Revolution in Iran, and how does it compare with the previous revolutions or the previous changes that occurred in the world? The reason why we refer to Iran's change as the Islamic Revolution and not an Iranian revolution is that it is not a nationalist revolution, that it's rooted in the values of Islam. There are certain other very important characteristics of this revolution that we need to take care of. Number one, leadership. The leadership of this revolution was in the hands of Imam Khomeini, a religious scholar that had not been educated in the West, that had no links with the West, that was not beholden to the West. In fact, he had emerged from the very roots of Islam. Secondly, this revolution was not indebted or linked with any foreign powers, as have been so many other changes that have occurred in the world. Number three, it had the support of the masses. The overwhelming majority of the people in Iran supported the Islamic Revolution. Number four, and this is a very critical factor that people haven't paid adequate attention to, and that is that it was a completely non-violent resistance against a tyranny. There was no shortage of violence being inflicted by the regime of the Shah. In fact, in the year 1978, when the revolution was going on, the Shah's army butchered more than 80,000 innocent people in Iran. But the revolutionary movement in Iran did not resort to violence. In fact, the revolution succeeded when the Shah's army itself realized that they were carrying out massacres against their own people, and they turned against their officers, and that was the time when the revolution succeeded. So we see that on the basis of its nature, that the Islamic Revolution is very different from any other coups and revolutions that may have occurred in the world. Another factor that is very important to take note of is that as soon as this revolution succeeded, it was immediately faced with internal sabotage. There were bombing campaigns against the leadership, assassinations, and so on. And within less than 12 months, more than 1,200 leading figures of the revolution were martyred. And when this campaign of internal sabotage failed, incidentally, this internal sabotage campaign was backed, financed, and instigated by the United States. And there is ample proof to prove that that was the case. When this campaign of sabotage, internal sabotage failed, then a full-scale invasion was launched against the Islamic Republic to destroy the Islamic Revolution from abroad. And this was instigated through the Ba'athist regime of Iraq, led by Saddam Hussein. Now, at that time, the United States had no diplomatic relations with Iraq, and yet it did not prevent the United States from United States officials, particularly Donald Rumsfeld, who represented Ronald Reagan, went to meet Saddam Hussein on numerous occasions. The United States supplied financial support, chemical weapons, and other support, and its allies in Europe supplied weapons to Saddam's regime, and the Arab regimes in the Middle East supplied financial support to Saddam's regime. So we had an international conspiracy of all of these powers against the Islamic Republic of Iran, whose trade was embargoed, who could not get weapons from anywhere, and it was all alone in defending its revolution. After 8 years of brutal war, the Islamic Revolution was able to defend itself successfully and to liberate each and every inch of its territory from the Iraqi invaders. And so we see that both at the internal as well as the external fronts, that Iran was able to defend itself. The reason why Iran has been successful and today has emerged as a regional power is that it is not beholden to any external powers, that it generates its strength from within, that it gives self-confidence to its people, that Iran is now well on its way to achieving almost all of its ambitions, despite the trade embargoes that the US has imposed, despite the sabotage campaigns that continues. And in fact, even the Americans have now come to realize that that Iran is a regional power and that it cannot be ignored. So how did this come about and what lessons does it offer to other people? It came about because Iran relied on its own strength. And the lesson, which is very important for other people to take note of, is the number one, any movement that is indigenous, any movement that relies on its own internal strengths and has leadership that is pious, leadership that is muttaki, leadership that is not beholden to any foreign powers, will always succeed. And it is for these reasons that Iran's Islamic revolution holds enormous promise for other oppressed people in the world. And it is for this reason that Iran has earned so much respect globally from the masses around the world, not from the oppressive powers, but from the masses, that it has been able to continue its onward march to provide self-confidence and respect and dignity to its people. And it is this kind of an example that other peoples ought to emulate.